Hey guys, welcome to a very special episode of the Nerdalogs Presents Your Stories. We are doing an in-studio, in air quotes, episode, which we've only done really 1.5 times before, I think. We have very special guests today, a group kind of, sort of, related to the Nerdalogs through sexual scandal and writing partnerships and such.
Oh man, I need another beer.
This is Corez, which there's no one to clap in this episode, so I'll do some clapping. Yeah, Corez.
Yay! Just that full of it.
So Corez is a group that puts on full scripted play productions, but born out of improv comedy. So how about we go around and I'll introduce you guys, or you can introduce yourselves, or some mix of the two, and then we can talk a little more about what it is you do. So on my left we have...
Hi, I'm Allison McWilliams-Brooks. I'm a writer for Corez, and one of its founding members. We all are in this room. Founding members.
That's not true.
Well,
no, but
all of us being interviewed.
And we'll skip you, yep. But we'll get to you later.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Connie. I help produce and help write Corez shows. Beside me is...
Oh, I'm Bobby Hoffman, founding member, writer, fight choreographer, carpenter, etc.
Kind of like Jesus. Jesus did most of those things.
I think he can choreograph.
Renaissance, yeah. I'm sure.
Jesus knew Kung Fu. And next to me, calling me Jesus, is...
Julie Pearson. I am the, I suppose, resident director thus far. I've directed both of the Corez shows, and also an editor on the scripts.
Now, do you find that your residents mostly stay in line, or do you have to write them up a lot for, like, violations? College humor! So, you've heard Allison and Jeremy before if you listened to this show. Allison, I think, last appeared on the sex episode and talked about lessons for a dorky girl in a sex-crazed world, which is an amazing story. Jeremy's way back in our second episode. He talked about Laylapin and stealing his teacher's prize mug.
Man.
I also should introduce the ghost in the room, guest appearance by another Nerdalogs member, Alex Talavera.
Hey.
Who you guys probably know.
Hi, everybody.
He's only here because I live with him.
Yeah.
Scandal.
In
like
a romantic way, most of the time.
You heard it here first, even though they're already engaged. And Alex has talked about it.
Yeah, on this very podcast.
All right, so what, we're doing this in August, which is Nerdalog's End of the World Month, and that works really well because your next show is about the end of the world. It's called Armageddon Pie, and that's most of what I know about it, so why don't you guys talk a little more about that?
Sure.
I think first, what I'd like to mention is the meaning of our name as a theater company. Corez means the heart of the matter. So when we were looking at show pitches for our next show, that definitely was part of the reason that we chose this show, which is about...
Well, we had a day called Pitch Fest, where we all brought in ideas, starting way, way back in the beginning of the show.
And it was almost a year ago.
Which was almost a year ago.
Yeah.
And we found kind of this running theme of the end of the world, or dystopias, or... Yeah. Just major events concerning not just a community of people, but the world as a whole, and turning that inward on itself and making it how that affects a small group of people. That was, oddly enough, a running theme in all of our pitches.
And to bolster what Allison said, our name reflects what we like to do with our content, specifically, mostly in the realm of comedies. We haven't branched out into dramas. We love to do comedies, but if we're going to do a comedy, we want to talk about what's real, life, you know, the heart of what beats in all of us. So we sat down after Pitch Fest, picking, I think we sat between a couple of ideas and picked Armageddon Pie, and sat down to say, alright, if we're doing the end of the world, what would that really be like for someone? Not like the president... Not like army chiefs or NASA chiefs, like just regular people. What would it be like if one of us was stuck in the end of the world?
And if that end wasn't necessarily specific, like we're not, our show isn't about a zombie apocalypse or necessarily about global warming or nukes going off, that the actual catalyst for the end of the world is relatively unknown. So how do people deal with that when they know that the end is coming, but they don't necessarily know what it is or why it's happening?
It's a single location play set in a small town Midwest diner. Again, not a script because we wanted it to be representative. And just what these people go through when they're put in a circumstance that's global, but the view on it is very, very small.
Mm-hmm. And then what happens when you're stuck somewhere with people you maybe haven't talked to that much or don't know that well, and sort of how does that bring you together as people? I think that was another thing we really wanted to investigate.
Yeah, like how do the ways that we know each other affect the ways that we're able to cope with something like that? You know, someone you know in your town, and you've, like, heard rumors about them, or there's knowledge that you have about them that they don't necessarily know that you know, like, what gets raised when tension is high, and what kinds of things become unimportant in the face of something that's so huge.
Mm-hmm. And if I may, I'd like to talk a little bit about the process of how we get from start to end of a play.
Let me set you up.
Yeah.
So, Core Res members, what would you say your process is like from getting to the start of a play to the end of it?
He's a pro.
It's long.
He's great.
It's a long process.
It's a very long process.
Well, it's April 8 is 24 weeks.
Roughly 24 weeks of process.
Yeah. What we pride ourselves on is being a very unique theater company, in that we try to take the best of both worlds when it comes to the magic of improv in terms of idea generation and having people come up with a big idea as a group and combine that with the structure and reliability of writing, which I don't see too often in the Chicago area, if any. And I am very proud of this group of people because we try to meld those two things.
So is everyone in your group an improviser in some sense? All the actors at least, yeah?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how many senses one can be an improviser in.
Well, we definitely...
In the sense that we're improvising this conversation right now.
But we look for a similar balance in our cast as we have, I'd say, in our company members, where there are people in our company who come from a much heavier theater background, but have also done improv, so can, you know, they can appreciate the concepts that are being worked with in the improvised stage, but have so much wider of a knowledge base when it comes to actually producing a theater show. And then there are members, you know, like I include myself in this group of people who have done theater, but come to the group with a much more heavy improv background. And I'd say our actors are probably split among that as well, because we've found that it's absolutely vital to know the basics of improvisation, and actually probably be beyond the basics to be a competent improviser. But it's incredibly important to be a good actor as well, just to streamline the process as far as when Julie has to start working with them on a theater level, but also so they can appreciate the layers that go into creating characters who are real people.
So are they cast for a character before anything is written for that character?
Yes.
Yes and no.
Well, kind of.
Well,
yes, yes and no.
We have a chord. Yes,
we start with a basic skeleton or
an archetype,
story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Basically, a basic archetype. I think when we went into this one, all we had really was, okay, we want it to be the end of the world. That's not super specific how it's ending, and we want to be in a diner, and then we had some ideas of types of people that we wanted to see in the diner, and then based on the auditions and based on sort of how we felt about the ensemble that we were creating, we assigned everyone to a really short archetype, you know, just about a sentence to work off of, maybe an age range that they were playing in, and then everything else we discovered from there.
And that is the choice we made for this play.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were doing a single location, cast us all in the same area for a while, end of the world sort of situation, we thought these are the types of people we want to see. But that may change for the next idea. We open, in comparison between last production, Get Strong, and this, we opened up the process to actors a ton.
Mm-hmm.
Where in Gastrong, our last show, we had a huge amount of structure put in place and definite characters. Now we've gone to, yeah, just do this kind of character and we'll direct you along the way. Next play might be even more loose.
Well, and that really fits the form. I should have mentioned that Gastrong was a kind of rewriting / parody of Beauty and the Beast, so you already had your characters picked
right.
out by Mr. Walt Disney.
And we already had most of the music written as well. So we had so much structure there in place already before we had a cast.
So this is not a parody of Armageddon.
No,
and
no.
it is not
it's
a parody
not.
Of American
it's
Pie.
It is
no.
not.
No. It's not.
No.
It is
we,
not.
We did view
and there they go.
And
flooding away like butterflies.
No, don't close the browser.
We did make our actors read scenes from Armageddon for their audition. Yeah.
This is a true story.
But not from American Pie.
But not from American Pie.
And you can blame me for that.
There are only a few blue jokes.
I came up with a name, but that was just what I had to start.
Well, where I'm really going with this is how many times you incorporate either Armageddon It by Def Leppard or American Pie by Don McLean in your show. Would you say more than five, or
still,
lots more than
I'm
five?
I'm going to say five.
I'm still banging out the
five.
Soundtrack.
Okay.
But definitely
now,
five.
Okay.
Five.
We're committed to five at this point.
All right.
And
I'm hearing five.
It leans more heavily towards Def Leppard, of course.
Yes.
But
okay.
The word levy may or may not appear in this book.
And it may
five
or may
times.
Not be dry. Yeah.
All right, good. That's hard-hitting journalism. That's what I like. Is there anything else you guys want to say? I mean, obviously we get to, like, at the end when it opens and all that stuff, but is there anything else you feel like you need to get out about that?
The basic process is we get all those people that we cast together, and they kind of improv through scenarios for 8 weeks. We record all of that.
Audio or video?
Video.
Both.
Video, yeah.
We
you think you're better than me? I'm
sorry.
Please proceed.
That's DVD bonus content right there. But then we take all of that, and for the next 8 weeks, we write a script out of it. We give them the script, and then for the next 8 weeks, Julie tries to pound the cast into, you know, making it a scripted theatrical show.
So how long does it take you to go through all of the recording and be like, yes, this
oh,
is
God.
Good?
Well,
oh,
so long.
A long time. The writing process, I'd
Thank
say,
you to Bobby for a lot of that.
Is, for me, obviously as a writer, is the most difficult part of the process because in Gastrong it was very difficult because we had certain points that we had to end up with in the script just because it was a parody piece. And I was expecting it to be so much easier this time around, except that without any original source material, everything you're writing has no basis point except for the improv. And our actors were so amazing in the improv process. There was so much material to work with. And what I found difficult was not coming up with things for the characters to say. It was trying to put in as much as is humanly possible of the amazing material that they came up with while also making a coherent story and honoring the characters that they created. And I really hope that they're pleased with what we did, because obviously in the interest of creating a more cohesive play, we had to include stuff that wasn't in the improv. We had to cut stuff that was in there.
That was the hard part,
yeah.
I think, was cutting things. This whole process had a level of communication between every side of the production team that I think Gastrong did, where we were able to sort of meet as a group, you know, during the improv process and say, like, hey, let's get more of this thing, or let's go in this direction. And so that's a really cool thing. It's just, I mean, and this process is still evolving so much in terms of how we approach it, because it is, it's a huge undertaking to do something like this, to try and fit a whole theater rehearsal process into it, you know, an amount of time that's usually more of an improv rehearsal process, and everything. But just being able to sort of communicate back and forth and shape the process as it happened was such a huge asset, I think, to this particular group and this particular process.
Something I would like to say is that our process gives improvisers and actors in a play a lot of responsibility and a lot of opportunity. More so than actors in a regular stage play. Because from start to finish, these characters are theirs. Every improviser makes their own character. We direct them, we shape them to what we think the play needs, but every character in the play is somebody's.
So let's bring this back home to Nerdalogs. This sounds a little like Dungeons and Dragons. You guys are the dungeon masters.
That's
yeah?
True. That's true.
That's actually really
true. That's a great analogy.
Very, very cool. Yeah,
we try and lead them through the perils of a process that we're still familiarizing ourselves with. But they throw tools at us
exactly.
that we never even anticipated.
We have a plan
know?
And we have a story we want to tell, but sometimes they make moves that we're not expecting, and that affects the whole play, affects the whole game.
And there's a lot of hot elf chicks.
Oh yeah,
in
so
general.
Many elf chicks.
Well, I am going to your show at least 1.5 times. Oh, okay, that sounds super cool. And if there are any actors / improvisers out there, probably around Chicago, you guys should maybe try out for their next show. But first, we have this show to deal with. And first, before that show, we have this show, The Nerdalogs Your Story. So,
who do you?
The four members of Core Res here have each written their own kind of end-of-the-world monologues, which they are going to share. And it'll be a little more like, I guess, of a round-robin kind of open sharing than at a normal show, because there's not 30 people here. There's just six. So, five. No, six. I'm really bad at this.